Father, guide me today in this message as we continue on in our study of in 1 Corinthians in this area of the gospel and what it is, and that this church, that we would be about the good news of Jesus Christ, that you would be proclaimed from this pulpit, that your word would be honored in this place, and that each one of us would be bold and equipped to share the gospel to a lost world around us. And so, Father, I ask this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. You know, we've been going through this study in 1 Corinthians and really looking at this, the church in Corinth, and the study of Christian order, Christian conduct, and the use of spiritual gifts, that as believers that the Holy Spirit now resides in us, and we are gifted in certain ways and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and how that within the realm of a church body that there is diversity. And in that diversity, there's also brought together in unity with that. And the importance that of love, and the importance that love is exercised in the church body, and the exercise and the use of these spiritual gifts. And without that love, those spiritual gifts, they amount to nothing. They're a zero. And we've looked at how the Corinthians were placing such an emphasis on the gifts of the tongues. Now, and I think that I've beaten that horse to death. So I think we've got that. That this prophecy of proclaiming God's word is the more superior gift in that. And it's really just speaking God's word. And the instructions for the church, the gifts were given for the edification, the building of the body of Christ, the church, for the common good. Whatever gifts that we have been given, they should be used to build one another up in that. And how wonderful it is for us to know that every believer has a gift that's given to them from the Holy Spirit. And I can't think of anything that's really more exciting than to know that God has given you and me a gift, and to have this gift, and so it's to be used within the realm of the church and in this world, and that we are partners with Jesus Christ in this tremendous enterprise that makes him known to people. The Friday, I'd stopped over at Ron's Appliance. You can tell I'm kind of struggling with whatever it is that I've got. Anyway, I stopped at Ron's Appliance, and I was inquiring about commercial dishwasher, because the one that we have here has gone belly up. And so the woman, she asked me, she goes, "Well, what business are you with?" And I go, "Well, I'm the pastor of Faith Bible Church. I'm in the Jesus business." And she just shakes my hand, and that just that's how we started. You know, so we're in that. We're in that enterprise of Jesus Christ. And here we come to chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians. And chapter 15 has actually been listed as like one of the top 10 greatest chapters of the Bible. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. And this morning, a little different. Usually I bookmark my Bible, meaning I have all my pages marked where I'm going to go, and it makes it easy so I'm not fumbling with pages. But sometimes I get rolling along a little bit too fast, and I'm ahead of everybody. And I want us all to be together wherever it is that we're going, whatever direction we're going as a church, we're going together. So today I did not mark mine, so I'm going to shuffle pages and looking for things just like you this morning, because that's going to be the emphasis of where we're going this morning. I've got my tool belt here. And in my tool belt, I've got all kinds of stuff here. You know, tape measure and a chalk box, a hammer, and construction calculator, and, you know, oh, hey, little buddy, a scraper, you know, things like that. All these things that are in my tool belt. You know, and we would kind of joke on the job site that, you know, that's our, you know, our superhuman duty belt, and without it, I'm a mere mortal. It isn't until we put that thing on that we're able to do a lot of things. And the thing is, that has a lot of different tools in it. And the thing is, and they're all for a specific task in construction, whether it's a hammer or a screwdriver or a speed square, whatever that is. However, they're used for a particular purpose, and that particular purpose is to build things. And Faith Bible Church is to be a place that we come together, and when we come together, we worship God together. We exalt our Lord and our Savior together, and we honor His Word together. We do that all as a family right here. And it's a place where believers are equipped to tell the lost who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. That becomes that. We build each other up, but we have a common purpose for a lost world. I'm going to start in 1 Timothy today. I know we're in 1 Corinthians 15, but if you just go with me. And I encourage you, and again, it's a repeated phrase. We have Bibles in front of you in the pews. I encourage you, if you do not have a Bible, to get yourself one. And if you don't have one, we'll get you one today. We want everyone to have a Bible. And I just assume that everyone follow along in the church with me together. Be the Bereans, check me out. But for all of us to have the quip, this is your tool. After a while, it's going to become, it's your sword. It should fit your hand. It'll be worn. You'll look at some of these guys, like, I think of Dave Nelson's Bible, Garrett's Bible. I mean, you can tell a lot of miles on it. It's comfortable in their hand. They have it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, and it says here, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. So for each one of us, we're to read it. Verse 16 of that same chapter, you go down just a few there. Pay close attention to yourselves and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation for both yourself and for those who hear you. So one is we read it, and the second one is we want to heed it. And if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 there. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we have the read it, to heed it, and then that third one there is we want to deed it. You know, we want to put it into this action. And pondering a thought for myself here at Faith Bible Church is, what would be my goal for Faith Bible Church? What would be that? What goals would I have? Well, I just jotted three that I felt for myself would be important here in Faith Bible Church, is that this church body grows spiritually in their relationship with Christ. That would be one of the, right at the top of the list. Another one would be that this church would grow in their relationship to one another. Because how do they know about Christ when they view each one of us? Well, it's through that we love one another. It's, you know, we care about one another. And the next one would be that each church member individually would be equipped to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that they're doing so. That you would all have that ability or be equipped or have that tooling that takes place. And to think about what are some of the reasons why Christians do not share the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, and the only first one that comes to my mind, fear. Maybe that's the only one. Fear of what? Well, fear of failure. Or fear of what someone might think. Or fear that I don't know what to say. And The gospel, knowing what the gospel is, the gospel, the word itself, it means good news. And then what are those essentials of that good news that we're to share with the people that are around us? And the gospel, it's been best defined as the message of forgiveness of sin through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It's essentially, it's God's rescue plan of redemption for those who will trust in His divine Son in order to be reconciled to a just and holy God. To be reconciled means that we've been put back into a right relationship with God. And there's an essential content of this saving message that's laid out for us really right here in the Bible, and we find it in that 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let's go back to that. If you're in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. One of the other pastors with the Rocky Mountain Bible Mission, he'd always refer to this as the gospel in a nutshell. And it always stuck. So after and this is years ago, and he'd said that, and so I always, it's the same thing. It's here we're going to find the gospel in a nutshell, right here. 1 Corinthians 15, first four verses. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that, here we go, one, is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Two, that He was buried in that, and that, three, He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. So here in this passage, we see these three essential elements that are contained in the realm of that gospel message, that good news message. And the first phrase here is, in verse 3, is Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. Now, as we go through some of these passages and these verses that we'll look at this morning, you might want to underline them or highlight them, however, or log them to your memory, or at least keep track, because they're going to be important for you as we go on, as you'll see. And Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. In fact, if I had to think of a passage that if we were sharing the gospel that you'd want to log into your memory bank to memorize, and if you were just to start there, it would make things easier for you. I don't have a great memory, so sometimes but there are verses that I'd like to memorize. Now, I know the men on Thursdays, they memorize chunks of Scripture. Okay, but here, if we could just start with that one, that's a good launch point for us. Is for all have sinned. Well, what's all? What's all mean? Well, all. Everybody. We've all sinned. We fall short the glory of God. It's an archer's term. That's sin. We've missed that mark in that. And the reality of sin needs to be acknowledged by all that are going to approach the throne of God for salvation. That's where this realm of repentance. We all got to come to that point and realize this, that we have got to acknowledge our sin. A sinner must acknowledge the hopelessness of their guilt before God in order for forgiveness to take place. And they must understand that the wages of sin is death. In Romans 6:23, you find that. The wages of sin is death. You've earned it. You know, it's a wage. And without that foundational truth, there's no gospel presentation really is complete without that. And the gospel, it means good news. But to truly comprehend how good this news is, well, first we got to understand the bad news. I always say it's a bad news, good news story. And as a result of the fall of man, of Adam's sin in the garden in chapter 3 of Genesis, which is page 3 in my Bible, it's right out of the gate, every part of man, his mind, his will, his emotions, his flesh, all of it has been corrupted by sin. And because of man's sinful nature, he does not and he cannot seek God. He has no desire to come to God. And in fact, his mind is actually hostile towards God. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. So if you're in 1 Corinthians, just back up just to one book, a little bit there. Romans chapter 8. Verse 7. It says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. God has declared that man's sin, it dooms him to an eternity in hell, and it's separated from God. And it's in hell that man pays the penalty of sin against a holy and righteous God. Now, this would be truly bad news indeed if there was no remedy. You know, if you were to look at Scripture, all through times when God brought down some wrath upon something, especially Israel, the people, he always had a rescue plan. There's always some rescue plan attached to it. And this would be truly awful news if there wasn't a rescue plan that God provides. But God, in his mercy, he's provided that remedy, and that remedy is a substitute for us. And that remedy is Jesus Christ, who came to pay the penalty for our sin by his sacrifice on the cross. And the gospel, it doesn't tell us something that we must do. What the gospel tells us is what Jesus has already done for us. Verses 3 and 4. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, then I got to go, well, what scriptures? Well, let's check it out. Let's go back into the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm going to start with verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Old Testament here. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Do we see they hear that willful sin? We're the ones that chose sin. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before his shears. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due. That portion of Scripture actually is one that crops up in Acts chapter 8. That's the passage that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading when Philip came up on his chariot. His grave was assigned with the wicked men, yet he was with the rich man in his death because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. For Christ, we need to realize that he He was predetermined. His was written beforehand, a pre-written event. It was not an afterthought. It was a forethought. He was buried, it tells us there. He didn't just disappear. They literally had his body. And what that buried, when we see that, it tells us here that it confirms his death. Verse 4, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Psalm 16, let's check that out. According to the scriptures, well, let's go look. Psalm 16. Verse 8. I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You make me known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand there are pleasures forever. The resurrection of Christ is really, it is an essential part of that gospel message, that good news message. The resurrection is the proof of the power of God. And only he who created life can resurrect it after death. You know, only he can reverse the hideousness that death itself is. And truly, death is. It's just hideous. There's nothing nice about it. And only he can remove the sting that death and the victory that is the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, back in there. And back in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 54 and 55, but when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Quoting a couple passages there, one out of Isaiah 25 and the other one out of Hosea 13. The glory of the Christian faith is that, you know, it never views life as ending with death. This life isn't all there is, contrary to what some have stated before. And again, if this is all that there is, I want my money back, because it is more than this. Christ offers his salvation, and he offers it as a free gift. Romans 5. Stay with me. Let's go back to Romans there. Just take a left there from 1 Corinthians back to Romans 5. And again, keeping note of these passages, because these are ones that I would highly recommend that you use when you do share the gospel. We'll get there. Romans 5, verse 15. Let's look at that. But the free gift is not like the transgression, for if there by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Let's look at 6:23, just right over there a little farther. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That the wages, we can earn death, but guess what? The free gift of God is eternal life. And to really, the gift, it's a gift that's, you don't force that gift on someone. That gift has to be received by that someone. And it can only be received by faith. We trust it. And it's apart from any works that takes place. You know, maybe you get someone that says, well, gosh, look at all the good things I've done. Look at all the nice stuff that I've done. Look at all the bad things I've avoided. You know? Well, let's take a look at that. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. So if you're in Romans, go to the right. Past 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and go to past Galatians, and the next one's Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You know, all the good works and the obedience are really results of salvation. They're never a precondition for salvation. Does that make sense? And Paul, back in that Romans, I know we're going back and forth a little bit here, but in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And he also tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We're not just saved from hell. We're in fact given a completely new nature in this. In 2 Corinthians, back here we go back into Corinthians again, chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Praise the Lord. All these become the essentials of the gospel. The sin, it's the sin of all men and women, all of us. And the death of Christ on the cross to pay for those sins. The resurrection of Christ to provide life everlasting for those who follow him. And the offer of free gift of salvation is to all. That offer's out there. So the question is, then, as followers of Christ, what is our role? What's our role as individuals? What's our role corporately? You know, as a church, as an assembly, the body of believers, what's our role in this community? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's start with verse 18. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Remember what that reconciliation means. It's bringing them back into a right standing with God. That's the ministry right there. 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he was committed to the word of reconciliation, that message, that's the message that we have, the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That becomes the mission right there. We, you and I, are Christ's ambassadors. You and I are Christ's authorized representatives. Now, I showed you my tool belt. There's a lot of tools in there. Handle many different situations that come up in. Sometimes it just gets over full of stuff. But they're all there to handle different situations. And here at Faith Bible Church, you know, we have a number of different tools to help each one of you to perform the task of being Christ's authorized representative, Christ's ambassadors. And one of the things is really how to share the gospel message with the lost world that's around you. Now, I'm going to use a story, and I've used it before. It's the best one that fits in this situation, and I've told it before. And so if you've heard it before, bear with me. You're going to hear it again. And for me, sharing Christ, and I'm talking, this is 25 years ago now. It's the first time that I used it like this. And it was, I was working at in a corporation at the time, doing security, trapped in this room all night. And one of the IT guys that was a computer nerd would come in often in the evening, and we'd get into these theological and biblical discussions. And he was kind of an antagonist. He said he was a believer, but we just ended up into these debates. And I am not a debater. I'm a lousy debater. And so one evening I decided to have a plan. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? Well, I'm just going to use the Bible to speak to the guy. I am not going to say any more words to him. I'm just going to use Scripture. And so I'm just going to tell you how this all went down. And I started with Romans 3:23. Do you remember what Romans 3:23 is? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I just made that my starting point. And so what I did, and you can use this too if you want. There's other things, but I'm just going to try to spit this one out as fast as I can. So I started with Romans 3:23. And I had him read it. Well, at Romans 3:23, I have my Bible upside down showing him, I wrote the next passage I was going to go to right here. So I could see where I was going to go. And my next passage was going to be Romans 6:23. Do you see how this is going so far? So I went to Romans 6:23, which is? Wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And so I get to there, I turn it around. And you can write these passages down as I'm spitting them out. The next one was Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet, what? Still sinners, Christ died for us. And then it was from that passage, I went to 1 Peter 3:18. Let's go there. For Christ also died for the sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So as I'm sharing this, actually he's reading it. I'm just turning the Bible around and I'm saying very little. It's just turn around and having him, his name was Terry. I'd turn around and have Terry read that, and he'd read it back to me. And after the 1 Peter 3:18, I went to John chapter 5, verse 24. I'm just going to go back there. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So we get to this passage, and this guy is starting to get upset. He's visibly getting angry as he's reading this. And then I went to John 14:6. Same thing. Everything is written, I'm showing it to him, but the next verse that I'm going to is written upside down so I know where to go. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. By this time, Terry is visibly ready to pop. And then it went to 1 John chapter 5. This is about as far as we got with him. 1 John chapter 5. Let's go back there. Verses 11 and 12. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Terry leaps out of the chair, he swears at me, and he says he's going to have my job, and blah, 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 and I mean, just let me have it with both barrels. That was the end of it. And I thought, wow, I'm going to lose my job. I kind of like that job, sort of, you know. But he became upset, and I didn't know what happened with it. I thought that was it. And I'll tell you this, when you're sharing the gospel, you cannot argue anyone into the kingdom of God. If it becomes an argument, stop. You know, just leave it. Leave it lay. Months later, we were in Ohio when that happened. Months later, we moved back to New Mexico, so we're 2,000 miles away, and I get a call from another brother in the Lord that worked there that called me up to tell me, because you will not believe what happened to this guy. If you were here, he'd give you a hug. He'd come to a saving faith in Christ. Now, did that have anything to do with it? I don't know. All I can say is, use the word of God. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Let the Bible do all the talking for you. It's so much easier, and I would still do it. That to me is, it's just kind of the classic for that. But that's the first time I used that for that, and it worked great. So different things for different people like that. But we have resources. And for each one of us here at Faith Bible Church, we have either book resources, we have tracts, we have different methods of how to do that. I will say this about the gospel, and it's this: when you're sharing the gospel takes time. I only know of one man that had the ability to cold call on somebody, and he could take any conversation and turn it into a gospel presentation that just drew you right in. I mean, and I've only seen him be able, and I've watched him do it, and I cannot even imitate how he does it. He just does that. For me, and I would say for the rest of us, the gospel takes time. It's not going to be just a 5-minute conversation. It may take weeks, it may take months. It's a relation that takes place. But we have resources. We have Hell's Best Kept Secret by Ray Comfort is a great resource of how to, and you would use the law to bring someone to Christ. Mark Cahill he's an evangelist, says one thing you can't do in heaven, he's a street evangelist. If you want to learn how to really kind of talk to people, you kind of practice it. The tools I have in my tool belt, I have tools that are in my tool belt that I actually have to learn how to use the tool before I can use it on a project. I say that to mean this. Sometimes we have the tools, the scripture, the people, the resources, the brothers and sisters, iron sharpening iron, and sometimes we have to learn how to use our tools before we can use the tool on a project. We have to learn that ability to do that. It does not come natural. Being a Christian is not natural. It's supernatural. Unnatural. By this name, we've used some different visual aids from that, which is a book that takes you from creation to the cross. It's probably Debbie and I's favorite, and that's a kind of a small group one-on-one kind of study. But those are tools that are available to you. The goal of all of it is this, for each one of us, to have a lifestyle, each one of us here at Faith Bible Church, and a lifestyle of one that's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's sharing that. Now, sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes I don't feel like it. But that's where that's at. I'm back in 2 Corinthians, if you'd go with me. I'm about ready to wrap this up. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I mean, this is speaking to you, church. You are our letter written to our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You know, the reality is, and the power of the true gospel, it's evident in those who undergo this transformation, one from a sinner to a saint. Oh, what a wretch I am. I'm glad I'm not the man that I was. And we now have become these living epistles. You are now this living letter, and it's to be read by all people. And ironically, the only epistle letter that most people will ever read in this world, and we live in a world that's gone bananas, is the one that walks before them who is Christ, and that's Christ abiding in you and me. That's sometimes we're the only Christ that they're going to see. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, as I close here. Verse 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Church, indeed, that is the good news of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news. And I encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as that Lord and Savior, this is your moment. I'm going to even skip that it's the day. It is the moment that you can come into this saving faith in Jesus Christ. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Put your trust in Him. Recognize that you are that sinner that deserved to hang on the cross, not Jesus. He did it for you. He was the substitute. Okay? And for each one of you as a believer that's here and goes, boy, I just really want to kind of hone my skills in sharing the gospel. Well, we have it right here. And it's to get together with one another. Tag team it. Whatever it takes in that. We have the resources for you. And it'll start with this right here, the Bible. Get familiar with it. Get your own. Get your hands on it. Wear it out. Tape it back together. Buy another one. Whatever it takes in that. Let me close in prayer. Father, we do give you the praise and we thank you. We thank you for salvation. And we talked about it this morning in our Sunday school class. Oh, thank you for the forgiveness that brings the peace upon us, Lord. We don't have to carry that guilt and shame and sin with us all the time. We can have freedom. Father, I pray that if there's one person this morning that's wrestled with this area of, gosh, the gospel, am I saved, am I not? Let's seal it up today. That they put their trust in you and you alone. Father, it isn't about good works or all the bad things they haven't done, but Lord, that they put their trust in you. Father, equip each one of us. Give us a desire to learn how to use those tools that you've given us, to use the gift that you've given us. Help us to encourage one another and spur one another on for the gospel. And we start here in our community right here. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.